Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 25th day of January 2021. I'm thrilled to have back as a returning guest today Pastor Angelo Valli, who is pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania, and he is going to be discussing what Christians can learn from the tabernacle. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Angelo Valli.
Thanks, Chris. It's a joy to be back here with you.
And also co-hosting the program with me is someone who is a returning guest on this program, Dr. Jeffrey Waddington. Dr. Jeffrey Waddington is certainly no stranger to those who listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio regularly. He's been on the program quite a number of times. He is the pastor at Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. And it's great to have you joining me as my co-host today, Dr. Jeffrey Waddington.
Oh, brothers, it's great to be here with you on this Monday afternoon. It really is a privilege to be with both Angelicus and Christophorus. your Latin name. It is a real joy to be with you and to be talking about this significant issue in terms of the understanding how to read the Old Testament the way it ought to be read, with a Christ-centered focus.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address right away. If you have questions about the tabernacle, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. If, let's say, you're asking something that has to do with a theological matter where you differ from your own pastor or your own congregation or denomination, or perhaps you're even a pastor, you disagree with your fellow elders or your denomination over something that you are asking about. Well, in those cases and other cases where it really is best for everyone that you remain anonymous, I will certainly allow you to remain anonymous. But please, if it's just a general question on the scriptures, on theology, on the tabernacle, please, if it's just a general question, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well, first of all, let me have each of you, for the sake of our listeners who have never heard either of you on the program before, Angelo, if you could tell our listeners about Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania.
Sure, brother, it'd be my joy. Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria was planted by John Dietrich Arendt. He was a member of the Continental Army. When he became enamored with proclaiming the gospel around central Pennsylvania, he committed himself to planting churches all throughout the area, and this is one of those churches. This very church where we're at has a tradition in the German Reformed tradition, and by God's grace, it's coming into the Presbyterian Church in America, Lord willing, this year. We're excited to be part of a confessional Presbyterian denomination. And we're just an ordinary means of grace church committed to word and sacrament and seeing Christ transform his people through those means.
Praise God. Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania, go to crcalexandria.org, crcalexandria.org, and hopefully we will remember to repeat that information at the end of the program. And Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, why don't you let our listeners know about Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania?
Sure. Thank you, Chris. Faith OPC in the beautiful little town of Fawn Grove here on the Pennsylvania-Maryland border in central Pennsylvania, about 3 hours directly south of Angelo and about an hour south or southeast of Carlisle. The church has been in existence for over 85 years. And like what Angela said, we are an ordinary means of grace congregation, stressing the importance of the preaching of the word, the right or proper observance of the sacraments of baptism and Lord's Supper, and also, of course, we're concerned about how our brothers and sisters relate to one another, and also how we relate to the world, that we desire to be modeled after our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not as a means of gaining God's favor, but because we already have it. So that's our focus, and we'd love to have visitors. If you're ever in this area, as I say, just on the Mason-Dixon line, about half our congregation is from Maryland, half from Pennsylvania.
And when you say ordinary means of grace, you believe that the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments or ordinances are the ordinary means by which the Lord brings his elect to himself and saves them, and there are very less frequent, extraordinary means and ways where people are saved in different miraculous ways, but those are the ordinary means, right?
Yes, we use the word ordinary. Yes, prayer. When we say ordinary, what we really mean is God ordained. So we're getting the word ordinary from the word ordained.
Okay.
Even the ordinary means are supernatural. Right? The ordinary means aren't merely human. The Word of God, yes, is human, but most importantly, divine. Just as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both God and man in one person. What we're saying is that we are seeking to be the church the way that God has laid out in His Word. He hasn't left it to us to make up things as we go along.
Right. And if anybody wants more information on the Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, go to faithopc.net, faithopc.net. Well, since we are discussing the tabernacle, Pastor Angelo, if you could start off with a definition of exactly what the tabernacle was, so our listeners have a frame of reference. Perhaps they're new believers, perhaps they're not even Christians, and they're really not 100% familiar with the terminology we may be using. They may have heard the word tabernacle, but they really don't understand what that is. Start off with a working definition for us.
Sure. So the tabernacle, when we're considering that idea in general, we're thinking about the tent of worship that God demanded of his people that he might meet with them in the wilderness as he was leading them after the days of Israel's exodus from Egypt into the promised land. It was the place where God would meet with his people, where they would offer sacrifices and prayers and come together for worship daily. It was just the meeting place of God, his visible presence at the very heart and center of his people. And we find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 25 to 40.
And since we are in the New Covenant, why preach on the tabernacle?
That's a great question. We are often, I don't know about you guys, but I never really heard a sermon series about the tabernacle growing up. Did you guys ever hear something about that?
No.
Well, since I was raised Roman Catholic, I very rarely heard anything about anything in the Bible growing up,
okay.
Other than the main events, if you will, about the virgin incarnation and birth of Christ and his death and resurrection, which are obviously extremely important. But there wasn't much else discussed in Catholic school, parochial school. I remember we all had to buy, or our parents had to buy, the Good News for Modern Man Bible, English, modern English translation of the Bible, and a Catholic edition, of course. And those Bibles, I can't even remember pulling them out of my desk when I was in Catholic school. But anyway, do you have anything to add? And by the way, Dr. Jeff Waddington, since I cannot see you, I cannot see you waving your hand, I cannot read facial expressions, if you would like to ask a question, as long as you hear a lull in the conversation, chime in with one. Or if you even if you want to add your own two cents to the answer of a question, that would be fine.
I'd love to expand on this some more.
Okay, Angela, go ahead.
Well, the reason I asked if you had ever heard a sermon on this, because I had never myself. I had been raised in the church. I had been very familiar with various sermon series. I went out of my way to listen to different sermon series, and I actually had a bit of a difficult time, as I was preparing for my sermon, finding some good resources on the tabernacle, insofar as, I mean, sermon series through it. I found only something from Kevin DeYoung and a friend of ours, a fellow OPC minister. And so we preach on the tabernacle because it's part of the Bible. We believe that the whole Bible is given to the church for her edification, right? That's not unique to me. That's from the Apostle Paul. We think of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Paul is reminding us that all of Scripture, not just his epistles, not just the gospel that we happen to like or know best, or the Psalms, but the whole of the Old and New Testament is for our good and for our edification. And so, with that being the case, our congregation in particular holds to Lectio Continua, this continued reading, which is, again, part of the heart of patristic preaching models as well as Reformed preaching models, and we preach through whole books. So we started through Exodus several years ago, and we just kept going.
Great. And what specific texts in the Scripture do we find more details on the tabernacle?
Well, we can look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has been, in many ways, our great guide to understanding the significance of the Old Testament Levitical system of worship and its fulfillment in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find, again, the quote from Augustine, it's very famous, in the old, the new is concealed, and in the new, the old is revealed. We recognize that the New Testament is the means by which we better understand what was revealed to us in the old. And so Hebrews has been a regular place of grounding for me in my own studies and research.
I was going to add that one of the, I guess you would say, one of the more recent trends in the study of the Bible is how the New Testament uses the Old Testament, and of course mm-hmm. Hebrews would be a perfect place to go to see how that is to be done. And so we don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. There is plenty in the book of Hebrews about the tabernacle, and then of course later its more permanent form, the temple. Mm-hmm. But this is very significant, and of course, Angela will be giving us more details, filling out the picture, if I can put it that way.
Now,
I think that Hebrews is... Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Hebrews is most explicitly helpful in a one-to-one correlation. For example, it talks of the tent, it talks of the veil, it talks of various portions and sacrifices and applications of blood. But I think there's also methodological implications for our own approach in the epistles of Paul. We might do it by means of induction. How is he using various Old Testament stories and narrative as a means of teaching us how we ought to approach the Old Testament? I'm of the opinion that we ought to utilize the hermeneutics of the apostles as they demonstrate. And so 1 Corinthians 10 would be a great example as well, verse 1 through 11, on the significance of some Old Testament narrative and its application for us as the church today, its benefit for us.
Yesterday I was preaching on Romans 15, 1 through 13, and in the middle of that passage, Paul deals, talks about the benefit of the scriptures. Both God and his word are the means of the strengthening, the fortification, if you will, of believers, the building up of believers. And there he stresses that the Old Testament specifically was written for our instruction. For our instruction. That's quite a statement for the Apostle Paul to make originally to the Church at Rome, but then to us as well as the contemporary readers of God's Word. It's not merely a bare book that we're looking at. We're reading God's Word. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword.
And we have a listener in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, CJ, who says, what words of counsel, rebuke, or chastisement do you have for those churches and denominations and fellowships who believe that the Old Testament is nothing more than helpful history, and sometimes people are even encouraged to buy New Testaments that are detached from the Old Testament and may have the book of Psalms with them, but is this really the wisest thing to do when it comes to carrying the Word of God with you?
Jeff, do you mind if I answer this one first?
Go ahead.
My first thought would be to simply look at the resurrected Christ. What does he do in Luke chapter 24? We think about him on the road to Emmaus, right? Luke 24:27 says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He goes a little further on. Luke tells us in verse 44 of that same chapter, there are many words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And we also think about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. It talks about the work of Christ being in accordance with the scriptures. We can't make sense out of the unique work of the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't have the appropriate Old Testament foundation. And so I think that there is sometimes a danger, and this might be a little passé at this point. It was big maybe a decade ago when I was a student in seminary, where people highlight some portions of the Bible and neglect the others. Now, most Christians aren't typically self-consciously doing that, but it becomes dangerous that the whole Bible is our book. Not just the Psalms, not just the Gospels, not just the red letters of Christ. The whole Bible for the whole man. That's what God himself says in 2 Timothy 3:16.
Now, wouldn't it, in spite of what you said, would it not be appropriate, or at least, can we not say that we cannot rule out ever owning and carrying with us a Bible that only contains the New Testament or the New Testament and Psalms or something like that? When it comes to, like for instance, the Gideons have a version of the Bible that is a New Testament with Psalms, I believe, and it's very small. When you're talking about, depending upon what you do for a living or what kind of clothing you know that you'll be wearing a particular day, if it, you know, is it ever wrong to just have a very tiny Bible in your church pocket that only contains the New Testament and Psalms, or just the New Testament? And it's, and if you're giving away many, many copies of the Scriptures for free, as long as you're telling people that this is not the entirety of the canon of Scripture, but that this is just a handy way, a handy size, a handy packaging that people can give away in great numbers and people can carry with them easily, that does contain crucial parts of the Scriptures and the, in typically the entire New Testament Scriptures anyway. Am I off base here?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing, Angelo. There's, as long as the person doesn't act on the idea that the Old Testament is passé or irrelevant, or even bad, we have a well-known mega church pastor in the South who has said that Christians need to decouple the New Testament from the Old Testament.
Unhitch ourselves.
that's Andy Stanley, who has made those comments and similar things frequently in his preaching and writing, and of course those things are also recorded on, you know, for live streaming and on the website. And so he's been very clear on that. That's a very dangerous way to approach the Old Testament, just to reject it outright.
It's properly unchristian, because Christ doesn't do that, and the apostles don't do that, and the early church doesn't do that.
I was just going to say, in our day, you know, with smartphones, the need to have a small, compact, hard copy of the New Testament and Psalms that may not be as significant as it was in the days before the advent of the cell phone, smartphone in particular. But still, no, there's nothing wrong with giving those away or having one on your person, just as long as you know that you remember that it's not the whole Bible, and if you're giving them away, tell people that it's not the whole Bible.
Yes, there are even churches that actually will call themselves, we are a New Testament church, and one can only wonder what exactly they mean by that, because obviously, we're not Judaizers, well, at least those that are on this program right now are not.
Right.
But at the same time, it's an odd description to refer to yourself as a New Testament church. But anyway, Angelo, you had some other things you wanted to say.
Sure, I have a small copy of the Gospel of John that I was gifted, and I don't see any issue with giving that away to a person, right? We think about the early days of the church and how the Gospels and other writings were originally coming out piecemeal, little by little. I don't think there's an issue with that if you are, again, thinking of what Jeff's talking about. The ordinary Christian, I don't presume that they're going to have this strong reticence against the Old Testament as the Word of God. But, again, you do have certain heretics and people who are in serious error who would try to divorce that. I don't think there's a problem with that, with having a small Bible or just the New Testament if you're going somewhere. Again, it's not best, but it is still better than nothing.
And when we come back from our first break, I'd like, Angelo, for you to begin to enter into how we should approach understanding the tabernacle. And if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, again, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back. Chris, I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Angelo Valli, pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania, a church that will soon be officially entering into fellowship with the Presbyterian Church in America denomination. And co-hosting with me is Dr. Jeffrey Waddington, pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. We are addressing what Christians can learn from the tabernacle, and our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence when you have a question. And before we go into what I was just hinting at before the break with Angelo giving us a summary of how he believes we should approach understanding the tabernacle, I do have a listener who wants something that I said clarified. So after I answer, maybe you guys could bail me out if you want to.
Maybe.
We have an anonymous listener who said earlier Chris was distinguishing between the miraculous ways that God sometimes saves and the ways that he normally does through the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments or ordinances. Is Chris denying Romans chapter 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? No, I'm not denying that at all. What I was doing was doing a play on words there, because the ordinary means, or as Dr. Waddington said, those means that are ordained by God for the church, are in fact, even though they involve the miraculous, anytime you have a dead heart of stone and a spiritually dead person being resurrected spiritually, being brought to life, regenerated, having their heart of stone removed Christ giving them a heart of flesh and the Holy Spirit breathing new life into them, that is miraculous. But the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments or ordinances are ordinary, using the play on words, in that they occur every week by the church, if a church is faithfully functioning as a biblical church. And there are those circumstances where, and I'm sure, especially sure, since my guests are Paedo Baptists and I'm not, but even Reformed Baptists believe that there are occasions when people are saved in the womb. We can't obviously detect who those people are, but John the Baptist, there is evidence, clear evidence, I believe, that he was regenerate in the womb. And there are other ways. The gospel is always the methodology that is somehow imparted to the mind of the lost person's consciousness, but the preaching of the word is not always the way that the person comes to Christ. There are people who, I mentioned the Gideons before, there are people who got saved in their hotel rooms picking up a Gideon Bible. There are incidents in history where missionaries who were being attacked by those within the false religions of the nations where they were attempting to spread the gospel, they were being physically attacked, and there was at least one occasion I remember hearing from history where a boat that was fleeing to safety as it was being attacked, the missionaries were throwing Bibles on the shore in the language of those native peoples, and then people got saved from the Bibles that they picked up. So am I making sense, brothers? Did I in any way bail myself out of those comments?
I think you did in those ways. Yeah, you did a great job.
I think you did fine there, Brother Chris. Maybe another way to say this is that the ordinary way that God brings people to faith in Christ is through the corporate worship of the people of God. But there are many times where people come to faith in Christ outside of the gathered worship of God's people. So that may be a clearer way of getting at what you were saying.
Right. Hospital deathbed conversions and things that were sometimes, right. Somebody may have heard the gospel decades ago, maybe even as a child, and they're lying in their hospital bed in their 90s, and all of a sudden, because of God's miraculous work of grace in their hearts and minds, they, I get it. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I need Jesus. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there was, back in the 1700s, there was a Christian who came to faith in their, his or her 80s or 90s by recalling what they had heard the evangelist George Whitfield preach one time. I mean, so there's an example where, yes, they heard the preaching of the gospel, but it had its effect many, many, many years later. We recognize that people come to faith in Christ or grow in grace, in ways outside of the corporate worship of God's people. We're simply saying that the scriptures are clear that the normal way these things happen.
And they're commanded to be used.
Right, right. That's correct. It's not just a deduction. It's stated rather clearly throughout the Old and the New Testament that we are, that God's people are to gather to worship Him.
Okay.
That's the ordinary context for people coming to faith.
Okay, Angelo, unless you have anything further to add, now let us enter into how we should approach understanding the tabernacle.
Just a quick note, historically, we think of St. Augustine, one of the greatest minds in all of Christianity.
Pick up and read.
By accidentally coming across, Tole Lege, just accidentally seemingly coming across the copy of the Bible and hearing some children's voice somehow singing a song, Take Up and Read, and he was converted, and the church was never the same. It's the better.
Yep. But now, if you could, let us discuss how we should approach understanding the tabernacle.
Okay, so methodologically, I think there's a lot of different ways we could approach it. Again, trying to find some useful modern resources for the believer today, I think one of the best guides is actually a recent work, relatively, by Daniel Hyde called God in Our Midst. Are you familiar with that book at all?
Yes, in fact, I've had Danny on the show, and if anybody's listening, they think I'm doing disrespect by calling him Danny. He calls himself Danny publicly, so yes, and I'm looking forward to having him back on the program, actually.
He's remarkable. He's one of my favorite present living pastors who are writing. He's just got such a wonderful clarity and dip into the patristic well, and as well as the Reformed and post-Reformed well, and he has this sixfold method in his book, God in Our Midst, that has just been so helpful for me in approaching it. I thought it might be best just to kind of highlight those 6 points and encourage our present audience with that.
Sure.
So the first one is clearly read the Old Testament as Scripture, right? When we're reading about the tabernacle, again, we use terminology sometimes and want to puff it up. And the tabernacle is remarkable. There's never a tent like it, right? You're not going to go to Lowe's, or was it Lowe's, something, Cabela's, and find a tent quite like the tabernacle. It was very unique, even though the word tabernaculum comes to us from the Latin just simply for tent. But when we come to this idea in the Old Testament, we're reading it simply as Scripture. The Old Testament is Scripture. It's not second-class Scripture. It's not mostly Scripture. It is Scripture. That's how Christ presented it, and so we need to receive it as such. But the second angle I think is important is for us to see that as we're coming to this somewhat strange and maybe foreign aspect of the Bible, we need to recognize it's also there for our devotional good. We want to recognize that Scripture is not just given for the sake of information, but also to help us be like Christ, to be transformed. For example, we think of Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There is this unique, experiential, applicatory dynamic that we want to recognize. The next part, which we've already hinted at in part so far from our earlier discussions, is we want to read this portion of the Bible through the lens of the New Testament. You know, we have the fullness of God's revelation for us. There's no more supernatural revelation coming out, contrary to the Mormons. We're not waiting for the better testament next season. You know, it's not like a car with a 2022 edition's coming out. Get ready. You know, we are standing on the sufficiency of God's perfect word. And so Hebrews 1 highlights the supremacy and climactic reality of this New Testament revelation in the coming of Christ. Yes, God spoke to us and to our fathers through the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son. And with his Son in mind, the fourth aspect is that we want to read these portions of the scriptures as having their fulfillment in Christ. We recognize that Christ is the telos, or the end, or the destination of all the Old Testament. The entirety of the Old Testament points forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, as our prophet, priest, and king, in his humiliation and exaltation. Everything is pointing forward to him. And so we have to recognize when we read an Old Testament portion, you know, how is this pointing forward to Christ? And I think that's very important. There's one more thing that I think I want to add in addition. We need to read the Bible simply. You know, one of my favorite things is reading the Bible with my kids because they see stuff I never see. You know, I've often heard it said that Revelation is complicated for adults and simple for children. You know, they get the idea, bad guys lose, good guys win. And so sometimes when we read these strange or difficult portions of the Old Testament that are perhaps not as familiar with as the Gospel of John, we need to really come to them a bit more simply and ask, you know, what is this here for? Why is this written? And again, to hammer it home again, we want to read these texts for the sake of Christian living, not only for our own heart, but for our life. You know, doctrine is meant to impact our life. Our knowledge of God changes us from the inside out. So I would say those kind of broad points would be really important, not only to the tabernacle, but to any portion of the Old Testament, because it causes us to recognize it appropriately, to see it in the broader scheme of God's special revelation or history of redemption.
And
you would say, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead, Dr. Waddington.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Angela, I think you would agree with me that Danny doesn't intend for these each to be separate steps, but they are to be, we are to be thoughtful as we read the Old Testament in particular with these six elements in mind as they interact with one another, right? So I'm going to read the book of Exodus first as scripture. Then I'm going to go back and read it devotionally. Then I'm going to go back and read it through a New Testament lens, generally. Then I'm going to go back and read it as fulfilled in Christ. And then I'm going to read them simply. In other words, when you're reading the book of Exodus in particular, well, as an example, each of these elements should be at work in when we read the scriptures. So they're interacting, as you would, interrelated, so that you read the scripture as scripture, that is, as God's word, and that of course entails reading them devotionally. In other words, for our spiritual enrichment. You know, yes, there is information, so we don't want to deny that. We're not mystical. We believe there is information that we learn, but it's not meant to stop there, right? It's meant to go further and to impact our hearts and minds. And then, of course, we read these texts, finding their fulfillment in the New Testament, in fulfillment in Christ in particular. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I like to think of it like a web. You know, if you were to examine a spider web, you would say this whole mess is a web. But if you wanted to trace the individual lines, it would not be at the cost of the whole, but recognizing the various parts as they come together. That in this instance, to examine the one is to examine the whole. And so those things that I've mentioned, those different approaches, I think they're all intersecting or interpenetrating together for the sake of clarifying what God has said for our good.
That's an excellent illustration to use the idea of the spider web that helps us to get a sense of how we are to approach all of the Bible, but especially the Old Testament portions, which we may think are odd or unusual because they're older than the New Testament, further back in time and more remote to us, but nevertheless, they are God's word for us, written for our benefit.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like you to begin, and we're going to have to cut to our midway break very soon, but obviously there is much from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, that benefits our lives as Christians. In fact, children are probably raised in Christian homes hearing more about Old Testament stories than they are New Testament stories. There's just a lot in the Hebrew Scriptures that God has intended to use to lead us to the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, and to enrich our walk with Him. But how specifically, amongst all of these stories and all of these teachings and all of these truths in the Hebrew Scriptures, how specifically are there more ways where the tabernacle uniquely can be of great benefit to Christians and so on, how they should be taught and what we should glean from them specifically?
I think the unique place of the tabernacle, it reveals to us this inherent corporate dynamic of God's interactions with mankind. We're not just looking at the Exodus event, because again, we have to see the tabernacle in light of the larger story of Exodus, which is of God's deliverance of His people. But God's deliverance of His people is for the purpose of His indwelling presence in their midst. God doesn't simply say, all right, here's your get out of Egypt free card, good luck to you, don't screw this up. Instead, He invites His people to come near to Him. In fact, the reason that they are redeemed in the first place is so that they might be reconciled to Him. In many ways, it's pointing back to the reality of Eden in a way that man had not experienced at that point in the history of special, or in the history of redemption. God had not drawn near to His people in such an established way since Eden. And so there was a unique reality occurring with the framing and establishing of the tabernacle. Not only was it an echo back to Eden and the glory of man's closeness to God before the fall, but it's also a foreshadowing, as Jeff's already pointed to, of the reality of God's temple through Solomon, and chiefly through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living, abiding tabernacle. And indeed, the Apostle John points to that in John chapter 1, where he uses the same word in Greek for tabernacle, for the word tabernacling amongst us, as is used in the Greek Old Testament for the tabernacle itself. So there's this unique dynamic of God's yearning desire to be with His people. Again, it comes through great sacrifice, much blood, much purification, but still this hint of heaven made manifest, this hint of reconciliation made manifest most uniquely.
Great. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. Please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is the longer break in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize all of their programming, including Iron Sharpens Iron, geographically to Lake City, Florida. So during our midway break, that is the time when Grace Life Radio airs their own public service announcements and other local things that localize the show to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials where everyone else listening via live streaming is hearing the ads that we are broadcasting. So please make best use of this time. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. And that will mean that our advertisers will more than likely remain our advertisers, which will mean that we, God willing, will more than likely remain on the air because we absolutely, positively depend upon our advertisers to exist. Sometimes reaching out to our advertisers just means that you're contacting them to thank them for sponsoring the show. If you can't purchase what they're selling, if you can't use their services, if you can't visit their churches, well, then please at least reach out to them to thank them, if indeed that's true, that you do thank them for sponsoring the program because you like, or should I say love, the program. Then please do that. And also use this time to write down questions for Angelo Valley on the Tabernacle. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Angelo Valley and our discussion on the Tabernacle right after these messages from our sponsors.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion?
Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations,
Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcmj.com. gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio really depends upon solid-ground-books.com in a big way to exist. They are a vital advertiser on this broadcast. Without the income we receive from the advertising campaigns for solid-ground-books.com, we would likely go off the air, barring a miracle of God financially. So please, if you do love this show, say thanks to solid-ground-books.com by purchasing books and purchasing them frequently and generously. And you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping an advertiser happy so that we remain on the air, you're going to be doing yourself an extraordinary favor, and you're going to be doing anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they publish and they carry the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. And you can never go wrong, all coming from a very strongly reformed basis, and of course, even more importantly, biblical basis. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, and especially when you're in the market for purchasing gifts for loved ones, not only to replenish your own library, but to bless the lives of others. And remember, don't just purchase books, good, solid, biblical Christian books for your Christian brothers and sisters. The Lord very often uses books, even extra-canonical books, extra-biblical books, to draw the lost to himself and save them. So please, include the lost in your gift-giving list from solid-ground-books.com, and put that website on your refrigerator with a magnet, put it on a post-it note on your laptop screen, your PC screen, anywhere you frequently look, put that website, solid-ground-books.com, so you remember where to go when you are looking for the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. And also remember, please, always remember to tell them when you're making a purchase that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Angelo Valley and our discussion on the tabernacle, and also my guest co-host, Dr. Jeff Waddington, as we all discuss what Christians can learn from the tabernacle, we just have a few announcements to make before we return to that discussion. This coming Thursday, I am going to be manning an exhibitor's booth in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, for the Vody Balcom Conference. And I hope that if you have never heard Dr. Balcom, that you discover and you begin to benefit from his ministry on Sermon Audio, on YouTube, and everywhere else you can find Dr. Balcom's preaching and teaching. In fact, you can order books by Vodi Balcom from cvbbs.com, another one of our advertisers, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They have quite a number of books in stock by Dr. Balcom. Well, anyway, I am going to be manning a Iron Trip and Zion Radio exhibitors booth this Thursday from 8 a.m. to 12 noon in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. And the theme is critical race theory. He is going to be exposing and refuting and equipping us to warn others against critical race theory, one of the most serious heresies that has crept into not only leftist apostate churches, but even formerly very biblically orthodox churches, very reformed churches. It's just been amazing and a tragedy to see how this has crept into formerly conservative and biblically based denominations, let alone congregations. So, guess what, folks? The good news is Dr. Balcom will be speaking on that issue in Pennsylvania, in Mifflinburg, this Thursday, 8 a.m. to 12 noon. The bad news is there's only 4 tickets left. So if you want one of them, four of them, I would jump on that immediately, because I'm sure by tomorrow they're going to be gone. And I want to thank the New American Standard Bible for sponsoring my exhibitors booth there, nasbible.com, nasbible.com. They have renewed their advertising contract with Iron Trip and Zion Radio, thank God. And I will be there manning an exhibitors booth at this event with Vodi Balcom, and I'll be giving away free New American Standard Bibles to anyone who agrees to have a Iron Trip and Zion Radio flyer posted somewhere in their church building. That is the key factor of getting a free Bible. So if you want to find out more information about the Vodi Balcom Conference, you can email me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and just say Vodi Balcom in the subject line, and I will get to you all the information that you need on this conference. But as I said, there's only 4 tickets left, so you better do it quickly if you're interested. Also, by way of special announcements, our co-host on the program today, Dr. Jeffrey Waddington, the pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fallen Grove, Pennsylvania, will be returning to his Romans series on Iron Trip and Zion Radio on Monday, the 8th of February. So make a note for that so that you can hear us resume that series that was interrupted by the holidays and other providential circumstances that arose. But we are going to be, God willing, back in the swing of things with the Roman series, so I hope that you tune in. Last but not least, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. If you prefer snail mail and mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, you can mail a check made out to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to the address, the physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpandzionradio.com. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting, a special event, a business, a church, a parachurch organization, whatever it is you're promoting, as long as it's compatible with what we believe here, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe it identically with me. In fact, my 2 guests who are Presbyterian, I'm a Reformed Baptist, they don't agree identically with me. So obviously there is leeway here, but you have to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. And so please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to remind you that I don't want folks siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their local church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Please never do that. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing Iron Sharp and Zion Radio financially. If you are really struggling to survive financially, don't put your family in further financial peril by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio quite at this point. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio is obviously not a command of God, but if you love this show and you are truly blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and home, you have money that you can use for recreational purposes like going to the movies, going to the theater, fine dining, sporting events, concerts, Bible conferences, all kinds of things. Well, please dig into that money, and if not, if you can, give all of that money to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, if indeed you love the show and don't want it to disappear, because we are having some very desperate times here financially. Many people in our audience have been really hit hard because of the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic. Their businesses have been hurt severely. Some of them have lost their livelihood and their careers. And that is a trickle-down problem, because that means people are giving less and people are advertising less. So we are having a really hard time financially. Please help us out before it's too late and we have to go off the air. If you love the show, go to ironsharpandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth and may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the globe you live. It may be even right around the corner from you. I've helped people find churches that were minutes away from their houses that they didn't even know existed in all parts of the globe. And they have either visited and joined those churches, or they have visited those churches when they were on vacation, visiting from somewhere else in the world, or they recommended those churches to loved ones who didn't have a church. Whatever the situation is in your life where you need a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question for Pastor Angelo Valley. And the email address, again, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence. We do have a listener who, if I'm not mistaken, is a first-time questioner, Mitchell from Prineville, Oregon. And sorry if I'm mispronouncing Prineville, but that's the way it looks like it's pronounced. And Mitchell asks, "Grace and peace be to you and your guests. My question is, what are the implications of Jesus' different I am statements in the Gospel of John as they pertain to the tabernacle?" Angelo?
I have no idea. Next question. The I am statements are really important, as they're connecting back to God's own self-declaration of himself, Exodus 3, thinking I am that which I am. We're supposed to see those kinds of links into the divinity of Christ, which is, of course, John's function. And so with John beginning his book, highlighting the uniqueness of Christ as the Werubim Dei, the Word of God, this identity of this tabernacle, living, breathing, walking in our midst, identifies the uniqueness of the ministry of Christ and being greater than everything the Old Testament tabernacle was. So I think I would look to those I am statements as a further revelation, both of God's care, love, reconciliation, and transformation of his people towards himself. I think that would be kind of the main way to look at that. Although I've not really ever thought of that link, the I ams with that tabernacle function.
Well, thanks, Mitchell, and guess what? Since you're a first-time questioner, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the New American Standard at nasbible.com. So please give us your full mailing address there in Oregon, Prineville, Oregon, if that's how you pronounce it, and cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship that Bible out to you. Thanks again, Mitchell, for asking such an excellent question. And we have a very loyal listener and a very generous supporter financially of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. Greetings, brothers. I don't know if I missed this because I wasn't able to hear the beginning of the show. Doesn't the writer of the book of Hebrews show the importance of the tabernacle to the Christian? Yes, we did address that, Grady. But do you have anything to add to that, Angelo? In fact, even Dr. Waddington, if you'd like to add your own two cents, if you have anything further to say.
I don't have much more to add to that. I'll just review, since he had missed that former portion. I think Hebrews goes out of its way to identify explicitly how some portions of the tabernacle point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in such a way is exemplary for us to guide our own approach to not only the tabernacle, but the Old Testament as a whole.
Okay, well, now going back to why this is important for the Christian, there is a lot of imagery in the Bible from the Hebrew Scriptures, and even specifically in the texts that involve the tabernacle, that are a picture of things that would be fulfilled in Christ. And what can you tell us about those things that you are certain are biblical images about the tabernacle, biblical phrases from the Hebrew Scriptures that refer to the tabernacle and all that went on there, that we could apply to New Testament truths? I mean, there is, unfortunately, eisegesis that goes on sometimes in the name of Christianity, where you have folks coming up with crazy, newfangled ideas that were never believed or taught in history, where they will take some imagery from the Old Testament and apply to it an allegory for us today that has no basis in truth. But there are things that we should never let slip by us. You know, things like the anointing of oil, and we could go on and on with specific pictures that we see that have very real New Testament truths in them that have been fulfilled in Christ. So if you could tell us about some of those. Angelo.
Sure. One of the things I really love about the tabernacle is it's visual, right? It's pictorial. It's not just, you know, what is justification? Can I have a justification with my cereal this morning? You know, what does that even mean? You have an idea, you have a concept. When you're looking at the tabernacle in particular, you have something that is tangible, sensible for the people. And it was sensible for them, for the world of the Hebrews there and then. I think one of the things we need to recognize is the image of heaven on earth that's being displayed in the tabernacle itself. So even thinking about the people of Israel, right, their attentive community, they're physically surrounding this tabernacle structure as they're in the wilderness. And so we might think of a donut, and the donut hole is where the tabernacle was relative to the people of God, that the people of God surrounded it. It was a visible demonstration that God exists in the heart and center of his people. We might think about the covering, which is rather ordinary, but made it clear that when you entered into its spaces, you were doing something wholly different and other. We could think of the visible beauty of the tent at the center of the court, which is a image of heaven on earth, and we see that with the various colors and materials, even the pictures of the cherubim or the angels and things like that. And so there's all of these sensible realities that are meant to remind us of the glory and the weightiness of God, and also what he's doing for his people in their midst. Now, for the sake of time, we can't go through the various elements. So our church is doing about a 20-week series through the various elements of the tabernacle. But some of them are easier to figure out than others. You know, one of the dangers that I think you've highlighted so well already is that when we come to these portions of the scriptures, we might have a tendency to over allegorize things. Now again, symbolism is different than allegory, right? Symbolism, we have a one-to-one, this means that. Kind of very clear. But the allegorical reality, that this means that-ness, is arbitrary. It's subjective. It has no footing, no grounding. And sadly, throughout much of the history of interpretation, the tabernacle has had that. Whether we want to see Philo, the ancient Jewish character who leads himself in that way, or even Christian characters like Clement of Alexandria, if you think of the medieval period and the Maimonides, or even the Venerable Bede. Christians and Jews alike have kind of spiritualized much of this. But I like Calvin's wisdom, and he points out, and this is from his commentary on the Exodus, he writes, it would be puerile to make a collection of the minutiae wherewith some philosophize, since it was by no means the intention of God to include mysteries in every hook and loop. And even although no part were without a mystical meaning, which no one in his senses will admit, it's better to confess our ignorance than to indulge ourselves in frivolous conjectures. Of this sobriety, too, the author of the Epistle of Hebrews is a fit master for us, who, although he professively shows the analogy between the shadows of the law and the truth manifested in Christ, yet sparingly touches upon some main points, and by this moderation restrains us from too curious disquisitions and deep speculations. In other words, be content that you are a creature. Don't overdo it. It's a normal danger. That's right, right? All of that in Calvin. How do you say it? Be content. Recognize you're not as smart as you think you are. You're not as clever as you think you are. If you're the first person to notice this amazing allegory mystery, it's probably because it's not real and it's not there, and you should probably be quiet.
And of course, there would be enough for probably a week's worth of programs for us to follow up on what I'm about to say. But there is a tension there, though, that if we are going to be truly Berean, we cannot rule out learning something, but we have to, that has never been taught or that we're not aware was taught in history. But we have to be very extremely cautious about that. Would you agree with that? I mean, it seems a bit stifling to insist that we must only see things that have absolutely been recorded by those who have lived before us on this earth, but at the same time, not be seeking some kind of notoriety in being having like a Gnostic understanding of things that nobody else has seen and has known before, and it shows a lack of wisdom if we immediately. And also, it shows extreme pride for us to immediately start declaring things as gospel truth that have never been seen before. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I think there's a healthy tension. Go ahead, brother.
No, you say, I think you're right. That tension that you're talking about, Angela, the healthy tension, it does relate to the difference between allegory and what we call typology. Typology mm-hmm. is woven into the warp and woof of scripture. And typology, of course, is the person or institution or event in the Old Testament that points forward to something in the New Testament, in particular the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in between that culminating fulfillment, there may be many fulfillments in later portions of the Old Testament. So that's a typology that is actually built into the history of God's Word and into the history of redemption by God Himself. There's an objective basis for it. Allegory is typically where someone as Calvin hints at in that citation that Angela read for, that the allegory is usually detached from the history of redemption. In other words, it's not tied down to what God has revealed to us, but it's taking a word or some aspect of the Old Testament in particular, the tabernacle specifically in this instance, something that doesn't necessarily have an abiding significance in creating it out of thin air. Now, as you say, Chris, you can't assume that there is no new light to break forth from God's word, to allude to a remark made many years ago by a theologian. But we want to be careful so that if we come up with some reading that has not, that we are, as far as we know, has not been advocated by someone who we respect in the history of the church, then it's quite possible that it's not right. And you actually already said that, Chris. You said, you know, you have to be, you as a mature believer, seeing the connection. Let's talk about it that way. Typology is the seeing the connections between the Old Testament and the New in particular, and sometimes, or many times, between an earlier portion of the Old Testament and a later portion. The tabernacle itself, of course, lends itself to potential abuse, but there really is no way safeguard. There's no way, apart from the wisdom granted to us by the Holy Spirit as we read God's word, there's no way to say in advance that this or that isn't a legitimate reading until you think through the issue, until you give it thought. And if nobody else has ever advocated a position that you believe is correct, then what you need to do is take your time, think about the issue and pray about it, and ask the Lord to give you wisdom and ask the Lord to warn you off the idea if you discover that you can't find someone who has advocated the view before. The tabernacle, and Angelo has touched upon this already, in the Israelite encampment, the tabernacle was in the center of the camp. The tabernacle was protected on all four sides by the tents of the tribes. Four tribes, I believe, on each side of the tabernacle to protect it. But the point of the tabernacle was so that a holy God could meet with a sinful people. Holy God could meet with a sinful people, and it's at the tabernacle where that is made possible by God's grace. He didn't have to do it, but he has the desire, as he says frequently, I will be your God and you will be my people. And there has to be a way to achieve that, given the problem of sin. And that's where the tabernacle comes in, and all of the various details that we consider. You want to keep that big picture in the back of your mind that this is it. God is enabling us to come into his presence without fear of destruction. And of course, there's more to say, and Angelo can fill in some of the details of the time we have left.
In fact, we're going to go to our final break, which is going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. But what I'd like you to do, you could pick up where Dr. Waddington left off there, Angelo, but I'd also at least get an overview from you on some of the ways the tabernacle points to the most crucial doctrines of Christianity, specifically soteriology, like forensic justification, how we cannot merit our entrance into heaven by our own righteousness. We need to be clothed with the righteousness of another, Jesus Christ, and other things like that we can see the tabernacle and all of the rites being partaken of there as pointing to very important, vital Christian truths, perhaps even truths that separate historic Protestant Reformed Christianity from Rome and every other expression of Christendom. But anyway, we're going to our final break right now. So if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, we ask you to please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Angelo Valley and Dr. Jeff Waddington right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at CVBBS.com. That's CVBBS.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And we want to thank the Historical Bible Society and Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, specifically, for renewing his and their advertising contract with us. Just to let you know quickly, if you donate to the Historical Bible Society a minimum of $35 at historicalbiblesociety.org, you'll receive a beautiful 9x12 print, 44-page book, I should say, of prints on the genealogy of Christ taken directly from a first-edition 1611 King James Bible, that is among the other very valuable historical books and Bibles of significance in the collection of the Historical Bible Society that they put on display when they travel from church to church, from school to school, and other organizations and institutions putting on this public display and a lecture on how we receive the Bible in English. But this is a beautiful 9x12, 44-page book. Every page looks like it's on parchment paper, and it contains, as I said, prints directly from the first edition 1611 King James Bible on the genealogies of Jesus, with really gorgeous artwork from that period of history, the 17th century. So go to historicalbiblesociety.org, historicalbiblesociety.org, to find out how you could get your free 44-page book, The Genealogies, with your minimum donation of $35. We are now back, and we have on the line Angelo Valli, who is the pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania, and we also have Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington as my co-host, and we are talking about the tabernacle and its significance for the church today. If you could, Angelo, pick up where I asked about specific themes that are important, that are vital in the Christian faith, like the imputed righteousness of Christ, etc., that we can see in the tabernacle.
Sure. So some of the easy places would be to look at the brazen altar and how it is an essential portion of the reconciliation of the people of God. Every morning and evening, an offering was made and required from the people of God. But I think a more interesting place would be the consecration or ordination of the priests. If you look at Exodus 29, 1 through 37, or Leviticus 8, you can see a parallel there. We find something really interesting. We look at the priesthood of Aaron and his children, or his sons, at this point, and it's fascinating because as I was wrestling through it and trying to understand the event, I found its significance, surprisingly enough, paralleled analogously with the significance of baptism. And I mean that in the sense that when we look at these men who are called to this sacred ministry in the Old Testament, we find that they need to be washed in water, they needed to be robed in righteousness, they needed to be anointed with oil, as well as sprinkled with blood. And so it was fascinating in seeing how these men who were preparing to meet with God themselves were insufficient on their own. They needed this priestly process and garb that God had set apart for his people. And its significance, again, was, I think, points forward to the significance of baptism. We have the parallel of their washing at the bronze laver with the washing of regeneration. We think of that in Titus 3:5 or even Ezekiel 36:25 and the promise of the new covenant that God will sprinkle his people with water. Again, that's why we as Presbyterians are all about sprinkling. Another example is putting on Christ and all of his benefits. You know, we speak of putting on Christ. We have the example in the prophets, especially in Isaiah, being robed in righteousness. We might think of Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3, but also Galatians 3:27, we put on Christ and his benefits. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us as well. But the third one, this anointing angle we see is special for the high priest. He alone is anointed on the face, but the ordinary priests are also sprinkled with the oil, and this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, that the work they're about to proceed in doing is just beyond their ability. It needs supernatural aid and strength. As my brother, Dr. Waddington, was talking, when we read the scriptures, we need the aid of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost himself is symbolized in the oil. We might think of 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. And then lastly, again, to go back to that sprinkling, we see that we are sprinkled with the blood of Christ. They were sprinkled with the blood of their sacrifices. And this whole event was a 7-day ordeal. And so, again, I know we're going rather quickly through that, but this unique angle of seeing the significance of the priesthood parallel with the priesthood of all believers, I think is a place where we can come to the tabernacle and see it not only as Hebrew scripture, but as Christian scripture. And I mean that in the sense of it's not just a useful task in seeing what was done there and then, but how there and then applies today and is made beneficial for the people of God today. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have anything further to ask of Angelo, Jeff?
Well, I was trying to say, there's a lot of details that we have to forego in talking about the significance of the tabernacle, which clearly we've already seen that the sacrificial system is key to the worship in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. That people cannot come into God's presence. Not even the priest and not even the high priest can come into God's presence without a personal sacrifice for personal sins, and then also the sacrifice for the nation, their sins. And in addition to the sacrifices that individual Hebrews would have to make coming into offer worship at the tabernacle and temple. There's a lot more that could be said, but I think going back to what I said earlier, the tabernacle is the place where a holy God meets with a sinful people. And that reaches its fulfillment in, of course, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as he said in John chapter 2, he is the temple. He is the replacement, so that when Christ came, when he accomplished redemption for us by his death on the cross, and when he was raised and ascended and now ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, we haven't really talked much about that, so we learn about Hebrews, tabernacle of the Old Testament now becomes outdated because it's reached its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We now don't have to go to a tent of meeting and slaughter animals, or if we're a priest, put on, or the high priest, put on these vestments, ornate vestments, and be anointed with oil and be sprinkled with blood, go through the washing process, etc. We may come directly into the presence of God, to the throne of grace, because we come with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our faithful high priest. We have a high priest who lives forever. We don't depend upon a high priest who is subject to death like the rest of us. Jesus is sinless, holy, harmless, and undefiled, as it says in the book of Hebrews. And his sacrifice is once for all. That tells us that all that we read in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and other places, is pointing forward to help us to understand the significance of Christ's person and work. His death on the cross has fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system.
And Angelo, we have about... We have 2 minutes or 90 seconds for you to basically summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
I guess if we had to go from a more broad approach, it would be to dare to read the whole Bible. Dare to believe that all of it is indeed for your benefit and good. Take that glorious reality that we celebrate the inerrancy of Scripture, its authoritative, inspirational character, and not just limited to the portions that we're familiar with. Read those portions of the Bible that are difficult or foreign to us. And even if we find them boring, perhaps, that might be an invitation for us to slow down and consider what God is saying, because all of it is given by God, not the product of men who got bored someday in the ancient Near East, but we're moved by the Holy Spirit so that we might have God's special revelation. It's for our good. So first that, and then secondarily, to be patient and slow as you read the Bible, and to be content to listen to good Christian teachers, good theologians you trust, and to grow in your love and affection for understanding and valuing the Old Testament as a whole. And to that, I would point to people like Meredith Klein or Gerhardus Voss. Those would be great places to go hang out and sit.
Yes, Meredith Klein and Lorraine Bettner are my two favorite female theologians. Sorry. I have to throw that in there every time I hear one of their names. I want to make sure that our listeners know exactly where they can get a hold of both of you. Once again, Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Virginia has a website, CRC.
No. Alexandria, Pennsylvania.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I said it right every other time, though, right?
We'll find out in years to come.
CRCAlexandria.org, CRCAlexandria.org. That's Christ Reformed Church in Alexandria, Pennsylvania. Sorry for the slip of the tongue there.
Oh, it's all good.
And Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, can be found at faithopc.net, faithopc.net. I want to thank both of you for being my guests today. If you could hold on the line, I want to give you a proper goodbye when we go off the air. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.